But I'm here and I've got 20 minutes or so just to really share what I've been asked to do, my mandate, and also think some one-liners, some good one-liners that you need to write down that, you know, when you're in prayer, you know, God gives you insights into the kingdom that your own intellect could never have taken you. You know, and, you know, when we're in prayer, I hear one-liners and I'm like, that cannot be me because my stupid old mind could never have thought of that in that specific way. And I have a few of those today, so I know that God's been speaking to me for you about a few certain things. So are you ready for a challenge? Are you ready to be challenged to a new place in God and to a new season in God, a new season in prayer that... You know that there are places you can go in prayer that no ecstasy, no drugs, and no hit of a heroin could ever take you. You know, and you know, this is one of the reasons why I fell in love with God, because what he does, what he gives, you know, who he is, you know, he chooses us to speak into people's lives, to prophesy, to minister, and he uses us to change people's lives. And that is, I'm like, woe is me, you know, I'm just humbled, I'm humbled to be here, you know, I don't, you know, I feel unworthy coming to a place like this, you know, but it is by grace, isn't it? God gives us grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and I don't deserve to be here, so I'm here, so tough, all right? So this growing in prayer, and I put growing in prayer and devotion. All right, so, you know, we live in a world today, don't we, that is consumed by instant gratification. You know, we're in a world where we want something, we want it now, and we're not willing to wait, and we'll use whatever means it takes to get it, whether it's credit cards, whether it's bank loans, whether it's payday loans, which, for me, payday loans are the most ridiculous thing. Bright House, don't go to Bright House Furniture, our furniture's better. Bright House will charge you a ridiculous amount. Does anyone work in Bright House? Right, okay, don't go to Bright House, come to Batal Furniture Shop, because what it is what it is, and we'll give you the best deals in the world. There's my sales pitch, we'll move on to the word again. Now, so, yeah, but we do. You know, we don't want to defer from anything but our bank payments. You know, and, you know, this I want it now kind of materialistic mentality really takes us away from a life of prayer and of faith, trusting that if I haven't got it, it's because he doesn't want me to have it. And if he gives it to me, praise the Lord, because he knows it's the tools that I need to serve him and live for him in what he's called me to do. You know, and if he's called me to live down here when I don't have much, rejoice and be glad. But he's called me to live up here when I'm in abundance. He's called me because he wants me to bless and he wants me to give. You know, but we live in this world where we don't want to live in delayed gratification. You know, this is one line for you. Ready? You know, we're glad to sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. You know, because, you know, the payments, this materialistic lifestyle, you know, it is, hey, I'm going to put it off and sort it out later so I can have it now. You know, we sacrifice our future prosperity because we've got to pay back this. You know, so we're glad to sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. You know, and that materialistic culture we bring to us into the church as well. You know, the Bible tells us that we should set our affections on the things above. But unfortunately, we don't. We set our affections on the things below and the standards that the world wants us to live by, and not that Christ has called us to live by, of sacrifice, of faith and trust and hope and belief, and knowing that he is going to provide for us every step of the way. And again, if we don't get it, it's because he doesn't want us to have it. So, I believe that the number one area that God wants us as Christians to put special attention to, and I'm glad you give me the subject of prayer, because I think in the season of growing, every other area in our life in Christ is a result of us growing in prayer. You know, everything else is a resulting factor of us growing in prayer. You know, so I believe that God wants to speak to you today about inconsistencies in prayer and inconsistencies in devotion. You know, if you're not consistent in your pursuit every day, every afternoon, every evening, and every night, if you're not consumed by the things of God, you're going to begin to be consumed by the things of the world. How do I know this? I occasionally become a junk food junkie. Sometimes I look like this, and sometimes I look like this. You know, and at the moment, I'm in one of those seasons where I'm really busy, and I'll just grab something from any shop, and I'm in a bit of a junk food stage. I know I should emphasize self-control. God's working on that one with me. But I will, at the moment, prefer to run in and get a quick McDonald's than going to a salad bar and get a salad. And as you begin to eat more junk food, the things that are good for you tend to lose their flavor. And sometimes I have to stop myself and say, no, I've got to emphasize self-control. And I have to choose to make myself some dinner on the evening with a bit of salad and some carrots and things that are going to feed me in the correct way. And I begin to lose weight. When you eat junk food, you get fatigued, don't you? You get fatigued, you don't have as much energy. I have to emphasize self-control. And when I do, I feel great. I feel fit, I feel healthy, I have more energy, I have more strength. You know, and stupid old me will always defer back to the way that I was before, and then I have to learn the lesson all over again. You know, but it's like that with our walk and with our walking God. You know, if you've heard the expression, you are what you eat. You know, if you don't eat of the things of God, you'll begin to entertain and eat again of the things of the world. If you are entertaining the things of the world in your life, then the things of God begin to lose their flavor in your life. And that's why I'm here to say to you today, we have to be on the continuous pursuit of God in our devotion and in our prayer life. Because what we eat, the outflow of what we eat will be evident of the things of the kingdom of God in our life. You know, the number one area that will fix every other area in your life is this subject of prayer and the standard of devotion in God in your life. Is everyone still okay? Tell me you love me. Good. Because I don't know whether I'm going to have many friends after this. So, just Matthew, because he has to be. So how many times has God called you and he's been saying to you, you know, I'm urging you, I'm inviting you to go deeper. But we resist. We resist to take time out from watching 9 of our favorite TV episodes to go and spend an hour, a couple of hours with God in his presence. You know, how many times have we heard God calling you and saying, I want more time with you. I don't just want more, I want consistent time with you, all day, every day, to hear you pray, to seek me, to go after me. You know, this is where God wants us to be. You know, and this is where you're going to see a difference in your life, in the issues of your life, in your struggles, in your strains, and the things that are going wrong, and the things that are going right. If you have consistent, persistent times. He wants us to quit. That song was talking about roller coaster. Was that the first one, was it? You know, we have to stop the roller coaster ride of some days we'll pray and some days we don't. Some days we'll be in our word and sometimes we won't be in our word. Sometimes all we can think about is the kingdom of God, but some weeks we don't think about it at all. You know, and God is there and he wants to restore in us, in you, in me, the standard of devotion and prayer in our lives. Thank you. Just that's a good place for an amen. So I believe God's restoring the standard of devotion. You can look through the whole of the early church and you can see that there were standards in their lives that they had to live by. There was the standard of holiness. You know, but I believe the standard of holiness was a resulting standard. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added onto this. So if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, pretty much it's saying everything else that we're looking for in the kingdom will be added onto us. So holiness was a resulting standard of a life of devotion and prayer. You know, there was the standard of benevolence. Benevolence, the act or of doing good. It's your good deeds. But I believe benevolence is a resulting standard. You know, there is the standard of tithe. We took our tithe today. We don't ask you to tithe because we want your money. We want you to tithe because it's a kingdom principle. And what God gives us when we freely tithe is far more beneficial than the pennies that we put in the basket. You know, if you look at the early church, you didn't have to give a nice spiel to get people to tithe. You didn't have to preach about tithing. They were willing to give everything that they had and sell it to put into ministry, because it was a resulting standard of how they were living in prayer and devotion to God. Because if you're in a life of prayer and complete devotion to Him, all of these standards are a resulting standard, and they just flow out of you because that's who you are. And when you're in a place where you are connected, when you're intimate with Christ, His character in His heart is what flows out of you like rivers of life. Amen. There was a standard of public assembly. We didn't have to force people to go to church. They loved to go to church. There was a standard of community. I can talk about community because I've lived in community for the last 15 years. We have, to the new guys, all these rules, all these regulations, all these ways that you can't live, all these ways that you have to live, all these things that you can do, all these things that you can't do. We have all these things that you can look at, all these things that you can't look at. We have times that you have to go to bed, and there's times that you have to wake up. There's time. There is a standard of how we work and our work ethic. There are standards. You know, but everything that we live by in community, unless it's a resulting standard of an overflow of the presence of God in devotion and prayer, it just becomes legalism and rules. Yeah. And the church is just our religious activity without the standard of devotion and prayer is just legalistic in rules, unless it comes from an overflow of who you are in Christ, of prayer and devotion. And to us, the rules that we have in Bethel are not rules. They're just the overflow of how we know God wants us to live on earth in this season. So this series is about growth, and I believe all growth comes from a place of personal devotion. Can I breathe? I need a drink. You're so slack. You should have had one waiting there for me. You know, if you were praying, if you were praying and in personal devotion, you would have knew that the preacher needed a glass of water. See, how many of you know you can't get people to act right before you get them to do right? Matt. I didn't want one. I remember, actually, Eduardo, in one meeting, felt like baptizing people. And one particular guy got a jug of water over his head in the meeting. So we're ready for that if the anointing calls. But I don't even know, you can't get people to act right before you get them to do right. You know, we can preach to you, we can teach you. I mean, we spend times, don't we, over and over again with the same people, the same issues. And to be honest, it's a little frustrating sometimes because you know that we know what the answer is. You know, you can't get people to act right unless they do right. And you can preach to you, we can teach to you. But my passion is when we preach that you will go home and put into practice and go after your own personal pursuit of God. Because if you don't, it's all worthless and meaningless. When we're preaching and when we're teaching and when we're ministering and mentoring people, we always end with this: now it's up to you. You have to be the one who takes this and goes after God for yourself. And when the people connect and they begin to pursue, they begin to pray, they begin to read their Bible, you begin to see their lives change. You begin to see the walls break down. You begin to see the longing for drugs break off. You begin to see depression leave their face. You know, the blackness, the grayness, you see it, it's in one touch when they pursue one word in personal prayer from God, changes everything. You know, the disciples, if you look at them, they had miracles, signs and wonders. They had mass global evangelism. They had the greatest missions movement to date, right? Right, they had extreme discipleship. You know, and they were not lacking in anything. And if you look through all the book of Acts, just a brief overview, you can see this in their life. But if you look at the underlying reason why they were able to obtain and have all these things, it's because it was coming out of an individual and a personal devotion and prayer life to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. And even when Jesus had died to men in the flesh, they were still seeking relationship with Him in the Spirit. You know, so what is the result of a life personally devoted to God? You know, you just look at the fruits of the Spirit. You know, you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And against such is no law. Why is there no law against such things? Why? Because if it's the overflow of who God is in your life, then no law can stop you from living and acting in that way. And when it comes from a heart which is personally devoted to God in prayer, every one of those attributes become yours. So we have to be careful. You know, we have to, you know, it has to be the person of Christ, doesn't it? You know, and sometimes the church doesn't go after the person, it goes after the principle. You know, and we can be a people of God, you can be a Christian, and you can do Christian things well. But unless Christianity comes out of a devotion to Christ, you have to be careful. Not the principles, but the person of Christ. You know, but, you know, man, we see so often, don't we, in Battelle, it's all about performance. You know, it's performance because of insecurities and because it's fears. You know, and they want to be seen to be doing the right. They want to be seen to be growing in the Lord. And they will just act in a particular way. They will learn how to do church. They will learn how to do Battelle. But unless they go to the creator, to the author, you know, it's all just religious activities that will not bear fruit in their life. You know, it's not about how we serve. It's not about how we do church. It's not about how we worship. And it's not about how many prayer meetings you go to. It's not about the religious activities. It's about your one-to-one personal pursuit and consistency in devotion and prayer to the one who can give you everything you've ever wanted and hoped for in life. Fail in the area of devotion and you'll fail in everything. Conquer in the area of devotion. And the Bible says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard and nor has it entered into the heart of man. This gives me goosebumps. Because if we conquer in the area of devotion, then you will have no clue how powerful the promise of God is over your life. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the promise that he has for your life if you would just run after him with complete and utter devotion. If you're not growing in prayer, you better check your devotion. You still love me? Okay, I was worried about that bit. No. So we're in a moment in Battelle Knots, in Battelle. I think we're in a great moment. You know, but there are moments in our walk that can be missed. You know, there are moments that if we're not connected with God in his presence, we can avoid because they seem hard. And how many of you know as people, we tend to choose the path of least resistance? You know, so I believe, if you look at the life of Saul, I believe that Saul could have ruled Israel. Right, I believe he could. But what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on David. In from having his eyes on the Lord to putting his eyes on David and walking in bitterness and jealousy, what happened to him? He missed his moment when he could have ruled Israel. But if you look at good old Mary, how many of you know she did not have to carry Jesus? God didn't go to him and say, if you don't carry Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. He didn't say that, but you know what she said? Her response was, be it unto me according to your will. How is that possible when she knew that she would probably get accused of adultery and stoned at the city gates by her husband, which could have happened? How, when she knows that she's going to be excommunicated, is that the right word? Is that right? I've just made that up or it's right, I don't know. You know, that she would have been kicked out of her family and everything that she knows in the journey. You know, she probably, that would have flashed by her mind. But because of the overflow, because of her personal and private devotion to God, her immediate action in the moment that, in this particular moment of her life, she responded in the exact perp, God, be unto me, no matter what it takes, no matter how hard it is, be unto me. And that is the response. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do things that are uncomfy, that are challenging, that you just don't want to do. But if you're in a life of personal prayer and devotion, your immediate response when God comes will be, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You want that area of my life? You want that area of me? I've run out of time. Good. Shut the doors. Lock them in. We're having a lock-in. You know, it's not the pub. She surrendered to a moment. You know, and when we're connected with God, we surrendered to our moments. You know, Jesus prayed in the garden, God, if you can, take this cup from me. But he said, no, Lord, no, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He surrendered to his moments. And that moment might be hard. It might be inconvenient. It might change your way of life. It might take away all your luxuries and your leisures and your comfort. But the moment is worth it if it brings you to a place of fulfilled vision in your life. Tithing. Sacrificing, committing, loving, giving, all those things that are hard just become nature when you're in a place of devotion and personal prayer. You ready for a one-liner? All right. Jesus' power was never in question because his communion was never inconsistent. No. If you weren't listening the first time, buy the tape. They're £5. All proceeds go to Betel. No. Jesus' power was never in question because his communion was never inconsistent. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Not, Lord, teach us how to deliver people, heal people. Don't, you know, teach us how to break off the demonic from people's life. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Why? Because they knew. If they knew how to pray, if they knew how to be in devotion to the Lord, the healing, the deliverance, and everything else would just be a resulting factor of their prayer and devotion to the King of Kings. Are you ready for another one? This is a bit longer. Your religious... First, Jesus knew that the source of his significance was his devotion. Why? Because when the crowds gathered, what did he do? Looked for applause and fame, or did he go to the mountaintop to pray? He knew that the source of his significance was found at the mountaintop in prayer. You know, and your religious activity will never be significant until your devotion is deep. And you should never want significance until your devotion is deep. Why? Because it was always producing you a pride that it's your works that have achieved. Whew. Did we get that? Good. So, in a similar, really? Okay. From the beginning. Okay, your religious activity will never be significant until your devotion is deep. And you should never want significance until your devotion is deep, because it will always produce in you a pride that it's your works that has achieved. Don't let your giftings take you where your character can't sustain you. You know, and we have that all the time. We have some very skilled people come into Betel sometimes, and there's a certain pride that comes with their skill. That if you don't use me for this particular thing, oh, you better watch this space. But we say to them, let us see your pursuit of God. And in your pursuit of God, God will release you then into your giftings, right? Okay, just trying to see what I can miss, because I know we've got to. So, if you want to grow, we all want to grow, don't we? In every area of our life. But the first and foremost area we need to grow in is our area of prayer. You know, and, you know, I think this might, it's just a personal opinion, so take this as you leave it. We're probably not supposed to give personal opinions, but I'm a work in progress. if you've not got a life of personal prayer and devotion, I think you're on the verge of backsliding, or you've already backslided. Because personal prayer and devotion has to be the very essence of your whole Christianity. So I'll leave that one with you. And what happens with that, you read your Bible and it feels like you're hitting a wall. I don't know about you, but without the presence, the Bible's pretty boring. Yeah. Did I say that? But how many times can you read the same story and it has interest? Unless you are in a place of revelation and hearing the voice of God through the Word, then it is the greatest thing that you'll ever experience in your life. You know, if you're not inconsistent, there's going to be a time when you've got to break through the walls and keep pushing through the veil until you'll read those words and those words come alive. Until you pray and you get into His presence and you're there broken at the foot of Jesus. And then you've got to keep going and keep going. But it takes you to make the effort and run for it and keep going until it comes. So prayer, three quick things. I promise, all right, how to grow in prayer. Make sure you've got your own prayer closet. Matthew 6:6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. How many of you have got a prayer closet? That place where you can go where no one can bother you. That place that you know is your thin place, that as soon as you enter into that place, you know that you're going to meet with the presence of the Lord. You have to have your own personal space where no one can see you. Why? Because it's personal, it's devotional, and it's private. And it's those personal, private, devotional moments that change your heart. And they're the most powerful moments where God has spoken to me and changed my corrupt, dirty, deceived, it's deceived, the heart is deceitful above any, and changed it to be more like His. So you have to have your prayer closet. You have to be part of corporate prayer. If you look at, again, the disciples, that's who they are. You know, and in Acts 1:12, it talks about how they came together in one accord in prayer and supplication. Their personal relationship, their personal devotion and prayer, their corporate prayer and devotion, and collectively with one accord, God moved them in the greatest revival that we're still yet to see on the history of this world. Next, communicative prayer and meditation. Meditation, community, not just honey, not that sort of meditation, but getting somewhere, going for a walk on the field, going for a walk somewhere where nowhere else is, and just meditate on His goodness. Meditate on who He is. And you can see in Genesis 24:63, it says, now Isaac was living in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. Now, who was Rebekah? Rebekah was his promised wife. You know, he had been waiting there, and he was meditating on the Lord, and God brought His promise riding on a flipping camel. You know, so if you meditate, if you go to God, God's promise is going to come riding in any shape and form, but it's going to come to you no matter what. So, in conclusion, sort it out. Amen. But in conclusion, meditate, go after Him. You know, if you've got things in the wrong order, put it in the right order and make sure your priority in life is to go after Him. Make sure you're praying. And finally, that was my introduction. But finally, pray without ceasing. How do we do that? Get baptized in the Spirit. Speak in tongues. I can't pray consistently with my British tongue, but I know I can pray in tongues consistently. And when we pray in tongues, we're using the Spirit language. We're using the Spirit language. We're connecting with the heart of Jesus, and we're praying what is the heart of Jesus. And how many of you know when you pray in the heart of Jesus, and Jesus is praying with you, things are going to begin to change.